All right, everyone. It's time for the Kevin and Nikki Show on Vibes Live. Actors Kevin D. Benton and Nikki Warren bring us news, current affairs, sports, and much, much more. Featuring What's Bothering Nikki and Kevin's Corner. Only on Vibes Live. They're everywhere. Enjoy the show.
Hello, our listeners.
Hello.
What? One of the three dudes?
Yes, it was.
What's up, everybody? We're back for another week. It's the Kevin and Nikki Show on Vibes Live, and I'm actor Kevin D. Benton.
And I am actress Nikki Warren.
And we're back, man.
Yep, we're back.
We made it back.
Yeah. But you know what? We're going to be here for a minute.
I think so.
So we don't even have to say we're back anymore.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I agree. Yeah. So, listen, I know we had some adventures going on.
Man, we were all over the place. But, guess what?
What?
This is not your week to sing.
Okay. All right.
I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Okay, all right.
I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
I didn't plan on singing this week, but then again, I never plan on singing.
Uh-huh. Well, just in case the spirit hits you and you try to slide out with it, I'm just letting you know. Pluck it right back up.
All right. We had some adventures, as we normally do.
Yes, we do.
So I guess it's time for, Robin Lynn Maven has deemed. It's
talk it out.
What?
Don't say deemed.
Deemed.
No, say deemed.
Deemed.
There you go.
Okay. It's time for the adventures of Kevin and Nikki.
You know what?
I didn't say
ding,
that.
You're trying to sneak it out.
No, you're forgetting the bell, man.
No, because I got to monitor your singing.
Right.
You know, because you just take off.
All right. Well, I'm not going to say. So, yeah, we had some adventures coming up.
Yes, adventures. But how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. We went over to my brother's house, and we did the food, fun, fellowship, family, and football. Can't leave out football.
With so much football going on.
Yeah, football.
Yes, my
football.
Goodness.
And I wish I had another alliteration of F, but video games.
You took your video games?
Oh, yeah. I had to take the PlayStation over there with the extra TV. So we had the TV next to the other TV watching football, video games, football, food, fun, fellowship, family. It was great, man. It was just good, you know, to relax and, you know.
So you're over your brother's house, watching football, eating food, having fun with the family, and playing video games?
The video game TV was right next to the football game TV. So, you know, because we wanted to have everything going at the same time.
Yes.
I am a gamer. For y'all, for those of you out there, my game is Destiny. I got it. That's the game I play.
Yeah.
That's all I play. Destiny. And I'm pretty good at it.
Okay.
I'm pretty good, so.
Well, I like Village Life. I play that game.
You play Village Life?
I play Village Life.
Now, that's the game where you got to feed your family.
You got to grow stuff. You have to win coins so that they can make babies and all kinds. It's fun.
Okay.
It's fun. And you have different levels, and at different levels you get magical people. It's fun. I love Village Life. I like it.
So are you taking care of your family in Village Life? Like, are they, where's your family status right now on Village Life right now? Anybody good? People dying off or something?
I forgot to feed them
for
a week, and some of them did die.
But how do you expect to take care of the family?
Listen. I've been out and about, which adds to the adventures.
Okay.
You know, I spent some time, too, with the family and friends, you know, over Thanksgiving holiday. I had so much fun. Oh, my goodness. I had so much fun. I didn't want to go home from nobody's house. I wanted to just sleep over everybody's house I went to.
The food
was, you know, really good. And, you know, I had to do my collection plate process, collect plates everybody's house.
That's part of Thanksgiving. You got to collect plates.
You got to collect plates, you know, the collection plate process. So, needless to say, I do not have to cook for a good while.
Okay, cool. Well, that normally happens on the Thanksgiving.
For a good
while.
That's
one of the things I love about Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You keep eating the leftovers.
I do not have, but I did cook a little something, though.
Okay, what you cook?
I made a turkey.
You made a turkey? Okay.
I made a turkey for me.
Okay.
I did, and I stuffed it and everything. It's in the refrigerator. I did good.
I made some
collard greens for myself. That's going to sit there for a minute because, you know, I got my collection plate process going on.
Okay.
So, you know, my stuff just adds to their stuff.
Okay, I got you. Well, look, we hope everybody out there had a blessed and safe and fun Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And, yeah, you know, you definitely want to, you know, use that day to be thankful all year round.
Not just on that one day.
That's just the air mark day, as we say.
Yes.
And, you know, but, you know, I want to give a shout out to or just acknowledge, you know, sometime when the holidays come around where it might be food, fun, family, fellowship, and friends with us, but for those that have, you know, like lost loved ones,
yeah,
you know, it's a tough
time,
man,
because
they're looking around the table and they're seeing who's not sitting there.
Right.
And so, you know, our thoughts, prayers, shout outs go to them as well.
Yeah.
And we hope that, you know, you found a way to enjoy your Thanksgiving with the people who are still here,
mm-hmm,
as you honor those who aren't here by making something of yourself and dreaming and making a problem.
Yeah,
because
one of the films, one of the feature films that we got cast in Mob Diaries,
mm-hmm,
we took a loss.
Yeah, yeah.
Our good friend Vlad Kokonis passed away, and this would be it came at such a bad time because he passed away right before Thanksgiving.
Right before Thanksgiving.
You know, and at the time when the family is trying to get together to spend time with one another,
mm-hmm,
they're getting together to plan a funeral.
Yeah.
So our thoughts and prayers go out to the Kohanis family.
Yep, yep.
You know, we're going to miss Vlad.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. So, yeah, man, I just think that it's always good to, you know, remember those who are having a tough time during the holidays,
because
these holidays earmark, you know, dates and times, you know, where loved ones were there,
mm-hmm,
and maybe perhaps this year they weren't there.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the best ways that you can honor those who are no longer here is to, you know, make something positive of yourself, you know. I believe that they're watching, you know, all of our loved ones that have died, passed away, are looking over us,
mm-hmm,
and watching us,
mm-hmm,
cheering us on, inspiring us, telling us, don't give up, you can do it, keep dreaming, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And so the best way that we can honor them is, you know, as we, you know, ate the turkey.
Exactly.
Is to make them proud with our lives. You know what I mean?
Well, what else you had going on?
Man. So I had a table read,
mm-hmm,
for a TV series.
A TV series.
And it was serious.
Do your jaw
motion. I need to do my jaw exercise.
Get it out.
No, and my character, they're going to end up changing it. His name is The Street Fool.
Oh, wow.
And so he's a stuck-in-the-past guy. He's got, like, 1990 Gazelles, Doris,
mm-hmm,
Windbreaker.
Windbreaker
with dress shoes on.
Ooh, that's horrible.
You know
I cannot wait to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know the old head that got the, he got
that.
The Gucci jacket with the shorts on.
Wasn't that I'm Gonna Get You Stuck?
I think that might have been I'm Gonna
when
Get You
Stuck. When he was stuck in the old time. And
stuck
he had
in the past,
the fish on his shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're going to be something like that.
Not to that degree. I don't
but
have
stuck in the past.
Yeah,
so,
stuck in the past.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I had a table read for that. It was kind of comedic. And so I'm kind of looking forward to it, man, because I have a comedy background as well.
Yeah, I have a comedy background as well. Yeah, I saw one of your clips.
Yeah, and so I was looking forward to this character because I want to be able to show a range,
mm-hmm,
of characters where I could play a doctor, a lawyer, a dad,
mm-hmm,
you know, the noble characters. But then I want to play a cold-hearted drug dealer, a drug fiend, and now The Street Fool.
Yeah,
but they're going to change it to The Street Dude. I think they're going to change the name.
That's going
to
be awesome.
But, yeah. So yeah, it was good. It was pretty good.
Well, I while you were away, you know, doing your table read, I got some awesome news.
Mm-hmm.
I got cast as a lead role in one of the Temple films.
Okay, cool.
Which
man.
Is awesome. When the director sent the email, she said, I did not want to see anyone else
for
this role. And she said, based off of when she first saw me, when we first went into audition for
that.
She said, I was it.
Okay.
She didn't want to see anyone else. I was like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is just so awesome. So, and the funny thing about it is that she said she tailored the character.
Okay.
So, again, she brought the age range down because the character was supposed to be 55 and over.
Okay, gotcha.
So she brought the it down, and what she's going to do is age me.
Okay.
To fit the character.
Right,
she said,
right.
She said it was it. She said, with makeup, you can age anybody.
Right, so she
said, I prefer to age you as going out and trying to find someone for that role. She said, you fit it, I'll just age you. I was like, yes, that is so awesome.
I mean, that is awesome. And I'm telling you, that's not the first time. That happens to us a lot.
It does.
We had a audition for the feature film Pride.
Yes.
That's going to be filmed in Philly.
Yes.
And Mama Pride was like 50 to 60 years old, and I think the Papa Pride was around that age,
around the same age, yeah.
And the casting director, Cindy Lane.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to her.
Shout out to Cindy Lane. She does some big-time casting in Philly and the surrounding areas. They changed the age of the characters to try to make it fit us. So,
And so we're waiting for our, what is it, our second call?
Well, she told us before we left we are definitely getting a call back.
Right.
So we're just waiting for it to matriculate.
We're just waiting
that's
for
it
to, you know, come down.
That's it.
But that is awesome. But also, I did start something.
Okay.
And it wasn't good.
Okay.
Well, I feel as though that it was all right.
All right, you might as well go ahead and drop the bomb. Wait,
so,
before you get into this.
Okay.
Last thing I just want to say, the only other thing I was doing in the name of Adventures was on the set of London.
Yeah.
On the set of London. They got an awesome web series coming out. Director Derek Hammond, Tyrone Magnus is in it. They got an awesome Aaron Sanderson.
Yeah.
Aliyah Coet. Is an awesome cast involved in this up and coming web series called London, LONDYN, and I'm playing the drug fiend.
Drug fiend.
I'm playing the drug fiend, and you know we were out in the cold grinding.
So that should be good for you because drug fiends, you know, they shake a
little.
Yeah,
they shake and they scratch and all that stuff. So I felt like I did a decent job of pulling it off. And so, you know, grinding, man, act just like we out there in the cold, not making no excuses, saying let's get it done. You know what I mean? And the scene turned out very, very well. I got one more scene, and so I'm looking forward to that. So.
Awesome.
All right, so now you can drop.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to shooting 3 days.
Oh, yeah, 3 days. We got that coming up, too. Yeah.
Production has started on that. But getting back to what I did, my, you know, I'm not going to call it mischief or whatever, but it was for a good cause. How about that?
Right.
I got the phone call that my cousin, she needed some more cups. So she asked me, she said, Nick, can you stop at the store and get some more cups? Okay, cool. I was going to stop at the dollar store, not that dollar store we talked about last time.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to stop somewhere else. So I get out the car. I'm walking in the store. Behind me is another lady. She's a little taller, and she had like a little boy with her. He had to be about 5, and she's on her phone, and she's just yakking on the phone. So she's getting in. She's going into the store. I'm holding the door for her. She doesn't say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's for number one. She doesn't say thank you. There's two doors. I held the first door for her. She doesn't say thank you. I held the second door. She doesn't say thank you. Again, she just busts through the door. And as soon as she gets in, she starts fussing about the amount of people that are in the store.
Okay.
Now, mind you, I'm just getting some cups. So I go to the back. I get my cups. And she's like, I can't believe I can't find what I'm looking for. She's just fussing. She finally finds it. She was looking for some pans. You know, Thanksgiving, you want to get that stuff early.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to wait until the last minute to get that stuff.
Right.
Okay, so she finally finds, like, the last two pans. Like, you know, these pans are long that you're going to make, like, macaroni and cheese with.
Mm-hmm.
So she puts them in the cart, and she goes to look for something else, and she tells her the little five-year-old, stand right here, don't leave. And so when she comes back with something else, she starts fussing about how long the line is.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts fussing out the cash register lady. You know, you need to get somebody else up in this store to help you. I mean, and
she sounds like an angry one.
Angry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the young lady, you know, she's Caucasian. So, you know, when they get upset and they start to get flustered, they turn red. So she's up there trying to ring people out as fast as she can. So when the lady walked away from that cart one more time,
mm-hmm. You took the pants.
I took the pants.
How did I know? How did I know you took
the pants? And I paid for the pants, and I walked out.
You are noble, T. You had to have to pay for them.
I paid for the pants, and I walked out.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got in my car.
Well, she was going to be, I know she was ticked off. You think she was angry before?
I know that when she came back, and the pants wasn't there.
The pants wasn't there. I know. And they were the last two.
They were the last two pants.
Oh, my goodness. You know what, gang? We're gonna make this into a teachable moment.
What?
Because I'm going to try to save my partner over here, right?
Well, she should have been evil.
No, see, now you're making excuses for your wrongdoing. Listen, just keep it at this.
She was evil, and she was busting out the cash register girl, and the girl was getting flustered, looking like she was getting right
crying. I got
you. The poor baby was working as hard as she could to get everybody out of the store.
And that gave you the easy pass to go ahead and take the pants.
Well, she should. Hey,
I was. Look at it. Go ahead. Fix it up. Try to fix it up.
I was doing a. Listen.
You was doing a good deed. Robin Hood, y'all.
Don't do that. I mean, come on. Listen.
Look, I'm trying to help you out, but you just keep on.
The moral of this story is do not wait until the last minute to get your stuff.
Blame her. Oh, my goodness. Blame her. Look, guys, I'm trying to help her, but she keeps digging. She keeps digging.
Come on,
I'm trying to help you out, but you keep digging. All right, here. Okay, go ahead. Say something else and dig yourself into a bigger hole. Go ahead.
Never mind.
Okay, look, let me help her out. All right? Confession is good for the soul, but bad for the reputation. Join the human race.
You know what? Oh, I ain't going to say nothing about them Boston baked beans you took from the dollar store.
I ain't taking Boston baked beans from the See, now she's throwing stuff. You a blamer. Oh, my goodness. Now she's trying to throw negativity on me because I'm trying to help you out here.
No,
listen.
Okay. Why are you helping me out? You should have been at the dollar store helping out that evil lady who kept busting.
Listen, because if you leave it on this.
Go ahead, Ken.
Confession is good for the soul.
But don't say the bad part.
It's bad for the reputation.
Oh, my God.
But here's the concluding part. Join the human race. That means you're not alone.
You know what?
We're
about to take a break.
See, she should have left it at that. Join the human race. All of us have done something. You know, it might have been different. And we just wanted to, there was an inkling on the inside for us to feel better.
Well, wait a minute.
And talk about it.
How about I was helping somebody?
You're fishing again. You won't let it go.
I'm just going to be quiet.
That's it.
I'm just going to be quiet.
That's it.
Because I thought I was helping. So clearly I didn't help. I just gave the pants to my cousin. She has extra pants.
Oh, my God.
Which she actually used.
You're still trying to
Okay,
fix
fine.
You're still trying to
fine,
fix
fine. Fine.
All right. So that's the conclusion of our adventure. And we just want to let everybody know.
Oh, my God.
It's okay. All right. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have our very, very special guest.
Awesome guest.
Awesome. He is a lot of things. But he's a man of God. He's a comedian.
Yes.
He's very, 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 very funny.
Very funny.
And we're going to get a chance to hear his story, his testimony. We're going to talk to comedian brother Edwin Douglas.
He going to like what I did. Me come on, I tell you that.
He going to pull out his Bible. That's
no, he's not.
That's all right. All right, let's take a break. All right, we'll be right back.
Come on, everybody, put your hands on this. Come on. Whoa. Put your hands on it. Pass the heads and pass the key. Making the devil real mad. Check this.
All right, and we're back. We're back. We're back. It's the Kevin and Nikki Show on Vibes Live, and you feel better, Nick. Don't you feel better? You can't tell me that you don't feel better after that confession. It's all good.
I was hoping.
It's all good. Join the human race.
I was hoping.
Nobody's perfect. You know what I'm saying?
But I know when I took some pens and walked out, the young lady was smiling.
You had good intentions.
Yes,
we know.
I hope
I got you. You had
yes,
good intentions.
Yes, I helped her.
All right. So let's talk to a comedian.
Let's talk to comedian Edwin Douglas.
Brother Edwin Douglas, are you there?
How you doing, Kevin and Nikki?
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I want to thank you guys for inviting me to the Kevin and Nikki Show. Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, man, we glad to have you, man. We very, very glad to have you. We honored to have you on the show and definitely for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us and share with us, share with our listeners. And I know they're going to be itching to hear your story. So, man, we want to jump right on in.
Yeah. Let's jump right on. Was I wrong for helping out the young lady?
No. We're not going there. Anyway, so we're not going there. Yeah. She's still fishing, Brother Edwin. She's still fishing. I tried to help her. But anyway, we're going to jump right on into it. Let's talk about the comedy.
Yes.
I want to know what made you get into comedy. I mean, because it takes a lot of courage to do comedy.
You stand up there.
And you don't know if you're going to be funny or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we write jokes and all that old stuff. But what made you get into comedy?
Well, you know, before I got in it, I used to have a part-time job at Earthquake Comedy Club here in Arlington, Texas. The same management, same owner that did Steve Harvey Fukure. And my job as a security, more of a bodyguard, pick up all the comedians that you have seen on Def Jam, also on BET Comedy, like, you know, Arn S. J., Nanette Lee, Sir Drake, and there's so many to name. And so one day I decided to, you know, I'm going to try open mic.
Okay.
A very funny comedian out of Atlanta, Georgia, named Tim Murray. Gave me a few tips, and, you know, I did it, and it felt great for 5 minutes. Then came back next week, said the same material, and nobody laughed.
Wow. It happened.
So I knew it was serious business, and so I said, okay, you know, I'm one of those brothers. I'm not going to give up. So one day, got a phone call from this promoter, and he called me at that time when I was married. He called me, said, look here, man. Come on down here, Vuku Ray. And for anybody who's been to Dallas, Texas, Vuku Ray was the old Steve Harvey Club, but that club had changed the name to Club Diamond. So I get in the car, and I drive, and when I pull up in the parking lot, it's packed. I mean, when I say packed, packed. So I'm like thanking God, praising God, yeah, it's my moment, it's my breakthrough. Don't have no clue what I'm saying. Just all excited. So when I walked inside the club, and when I'm looking for the promoter, the club inside was packed. I said, wait a minute, bro. If all the guys are outside and the whole club full of women, who am I open up for? And he told me some male strippers. And I'm like, what? I said, you're not kidding me. He said, come on, you going to do this or what? And so I went to the DJ, and so I'm looking at the theme, how I'm going to open up. He said, you got 5 minutes. Do your thing. This is a great opportunity. So what I did was I went to the DJ. I can't say the word, but I'm kind of, you know, pumped up a little bit. And the name of this song was like, dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun. How you know? Because I told you so. So it was one of those songs by Master P. And
okay.
So when I got up there, and all the ladies were like, take that blank off. Take that blank off. And so I was like, just kind of interact what they were saying. But I thought they knew I was a comedian. They thought I was a stripper.
Oh, wow.
So everything blend right on time. So now I know about, I can feel 2 minutes went by. So I grabbed one of the ladies and just, act, you know, made her think I was a stripper and got on top of her and just doing my thing. I take my clothes off. Then I know I had about 2.5 more minutes, and I did a couple of jokes, and it is hard to make a room full of women to laugh. They come to spend their money on strippers, but right there, that was my 5 minute fame. I mean, they gave me a standing ovation, and there my answer, you know what, I want to do this. And that's what made me, you know, want to become a stand-up comedian. I am the first and only comedian to open up for some male strippers.
You might be in the Guinness Book of World Records for that one, man. You know, that was a unique path to doing comedy, but, you know, everybody had their unique path to going to comedy. That's definitely unique.
I got to ask, though. Did they throw money up on the stage at you?
Did they make it rain?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to answer that. I couldn't tell my ex-wife at the time when I was married. this lady here, she asked me, when the club closed, can I take you home and I'll pay you right then? I didn't go, but I didn't take it. But to answer your question, I had an offer. Because I had to go home. I sure did.
That sounds like a scene out of Journey to Three Women.
She was going to make it rain twice.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that was an interesting introduction to comedy and an interesting combination.
Yes.
I hear you, man. Definitely one of the questions that I wanted to ask, I know that, you know, you primarily consider yourself like I don't like to say Christian comedian. I like to say a comedian who happens to be a man of faith, man of God, Christian, whatever, you know, that person's faith affiliation or denomination is. But I know that you do comedy in secular venues, you do comedy in church venues. Now, I've done a little bit of stand up in my time. Like I said, they had the Helium Comedy Club here in Philadelphia, which is you know, a big time comedy club. I've done open mic, not a show. So you know, I've done comedy, you know, in the church. I've done comedy down at Helium in terms of open mic. And I've noticed with the church, you know, segment, it's very, very difficult because when you walk out there, it's kind of like the church folk are sitting there waiting for you to say a curse word. Like, you can kind of feel that judgmental presence and pressure.
Yeah.
My question to you is, how do you deal with that? Because the way I dealt with it was I disarmed them with my first joke. Like, I said, okay, church folk, I'm about to talk about sex. And everybody started going, yeah, I told you, Lord Jesus. You know, you can hear a little murmur. I said, well, if y'all got a problem, where the children's choir come from? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know,
the children's choir came from somewhere. Somebody in church having sex.
it wasn't hard for me what kind of jokes or comedies that I was going to present to the churches or a Christian event because God already told me what he wanted me to do.
Okay.
I have not necessarily what you call a audio voice from God. A lot of people don't get that, but the mm-hmm. voice of God says you will no longer do comedy
mm-hmm.
in the club anymore. I want you to do it in the churches. And I said, wait a minute, hold on. And going back to what you were saying, I said, God, after all this profanity I'm doing, what am I going to talk about? So when he responded, he said, I didn't block you out of it. And so at that time, going through transition, I was homeless. So when I did my first, I was in Tampa, Florida. When I did my first comedy gig inside a church, matter of fact, it wasn't a comedy. A deacon was asked by this bishop in Tampa, Florida. I heard about this young man, Edwin Douglas. Go find him. I want him to do something from Black History Month.
Okay.
So I was like, so when they located me, He said, the bishop, he want to know how much you'll charge. He just wants you to talk about comedy for Black History Month. So I said, okay, I'll do it for little or nothing. It's nothing. I'll do it for free because I didn't know where it was going. Mm-hmm. So when I share the history where comedies really where it came from, it started, a lot of people don't know this, but it started during the slavery days when slaves were not allowed to talk. They could sing, and that was their communication while they were out in the field. So at nighttime, slaves would mock the slave masters, you know, crack jokes and mock the slave masters. And so one day, a slave master from another plantation happened to hear them laugh and crack and joke. So if you guys remember the blackface, okay, that's when they would go to the theater and all the black folks would be on the upper balcony. And all the white folks were down the lower back, and black folks were not allowed to laugh out at all until the white folks started laughing.
Yep.
Then here come one comedian, not the man is comedian, women are comedian.
Right,
and the first paid comedian as comedian was Ma Mabley.
Mm-hmm.
So when I shared that history at that church, I said, wow, really educated. And I closed with a couple of jokes, and I left. And so they contacted me, hey, man, we were looking for you. We got something for you. And the turnaround gave me $200.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow. So to go back and answer your question, was it hard? No. When God is in it, and if for you, God is already going to tell you what to talk about, what to write about. And with different congregations, a lot of people, different denominations, really don't know what's going to come out their mouth. They really don't. They really don't know what's going to come. Some think it's too hard. Some may think, you know, we don't want that here. But that's the business side of it. And myself, I'm being obedient to God because he called me at the comedy club to do comedy in the Christian venues. To
build
in his way, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you've been everywhere, and you've worked with a great deal of people. Tell us a little bit about some of the tell our listeners a little bit about some of the people that you have the pleasure of performing for.
My very greatest opportunity, quite a few, is a list of them. For let's start with different comedians. Open up for Nephew Tommy. Also open up for other locals that have been on Comedy View. But my biggest experience that was Tamela and David Mann.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
Opportunity in Rochester, New York, performing in front of almost 3,000 people in the audience.
Wow.
Had an opportunity to not only open but host the Midnight Star Concert, Blackstreet, Chauncey from Blackstreet, and there's many more. But the biggest one, I will have to say, Tamela and David, because I was on the same airline, same plane with them, and that was phenomenal. It was just a whole another level that God said, if you continue to trust me and be obedient, I will give you more of this. And that was the biggest audience I ever had. And now I'm looking forward to what God has for me 2018. I don't question God.
Right.
I just do as he say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's
powerful.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's powerful. Yeah, and I remember you posted the pictures of you with the mans, and that was great, man. And, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome stuff.
That's awesome.
That's awesome stuff.
So you've been working, like, you have your crusade. You heard me first. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you heard me first, actually, was supposed to have been a special project almost 10 years ago when my stage name used to be House Party. Okay, and you know what? Let me change this to my name, keep it real, keep it 100. So when I had an opportunity to go down to New Orleans, folks, when they say, a lot of people you hear say, you heard me? And everywhere I went, I kept hearing people use the same verbal, you heard me? Like with one word. So I grabbed that, Kevin and Nick, and I said, you know, one day, they're going to be the major brand. So you heard me first. I'm just kicking it off with the magazine and much more products like T-shirts. It's just going to be my major brand. And when this major breakthrough comes, just like you may see Master P has his brand, just like Magic Johnson has his brand. And so you heard me. It's just going to go across the board. So anything that I do, I want people to remember this. You heard me. And so that's what it's all about. There's more to it. I can't reveal it now, but more is coming because we all grew up when our parents, when we get in trouble, you know, I don't know what black mom, black dad would say. You hear me? No. When you know you about to get your behind whooped, you heard me? That means I'm not going to repeat myself anymore. So,
that's right.
Yeah. So when people see this brand, hear this brand, I want the black history to come out of everybody. You heard me?
You heard me?
Wow. Yeah. I remember we were talking earlier, and you have an awesome testimony, and I remember you were sharing some things with me about how in your transition process, you became homeless for a little while. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. When I departed from my ex-wife, my marriage, I sheltered myself in a hotel because I was seeking for peace and more than stressed out, just trying to run away from what wasn't right anymore, what wasn't there anymore. And it seems like bill collectors, seemed like everything was after me. It didn't matter. And so I've always kept myself close to God. Lord, show me a way, direct me to peace. And so one day I decided, you know what, I got my job, I'm going to sleep in my car. And crying every day, but I have to call my pride with me in the way because I didn't want people to know that something was wrong. Going to work, working long hours, just to have a place to be, like everything was okay. When I say homeless, it's a surviving. A surviving moment means that even other people who's homeless, you can't trust them either because they after you too. Anything they think they can take advantage of, it wasn't comfortable. Remember, I slept in the parking lot at 24-Hour Fitness, Kevin, and had my Bible on the dashboard pretending I was reading. And I would go in and out the gym for the water, for the shower, for the sauna, and come back to my car, you know, pretending that I'm there to work out. I just need a place to sleep, pretending that I'm working out. And it was only $25 a month for me. That was very affordable for me to save my money until things get back on track. Food, oh my gosh, food stamp. I didn't take advantage of my food stamp, Nikki, to go to Walmart. I took advantage to save and went to Dollar Tree. Yes, I mean, no television, no, couldn't afford to waste my gas listening to the radio, you know, for entertainment, guys. I use my imagination. You guys ever see somebody who's walking in the middle of the street like they knowing they on crack and something like that? Mm-hmm. Or they rap, act like they're a rapper?
But right,
what
right.
What I did, I held on to my dreams and pretending that I was doing comedy in front of a lot of people. And, you know, I was absolutely connected with the spirit. You know, and then there was from time to time I'd go be posted up at the train station and do 5 minutes of comedy. But I had to be very careful because people weren't trying to hear all that. But
right,
that was
right.
my way of entertaining people. If not, then I'm going to entertain myself. At that moment, I had a regular car. I just prayed, knew it could break down any time. But I only drove that car so far when I was going to the Potter's house where Bishop T.D. Jakes is ministering for over a year. And the best wisdom that really got me on track, myself, kept praying and praying. I said, God, just give me another chance. But it's got to be a purpose, got to be a reason why I'm running away from the bill collector. It's got to be a reason why my marriage did not work out. What is your plan? Show me a sign. So, make the long story short, but one day, Thanksgiving evening, my frat brother, for those who want to know what fraternity I'm in, I'm a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, he invited me, and he did not know I was homeless. Ate good, drinking, having a good time. He said, "No, we're going to the movie. You like to go?" I said, "Sure." Nigga, Kevin, soon as we went in the theater, walked inside, I went to sleep because I knew that was going to be the best sleep, the best sleep that I had in a long time. And so finally, when that night was over, I walked out. "Hey, you guys, thank you for everything." And got in my car and started crying. Didn't know where I was going to sleep because that night it was like 18 degrees. Just me and my car, and it is everything that's closed. So someone told me to check my voicemail. I listened to it, and it was a lady that had been watching me. She said, "Edwin, I've been trying to get a hold of you for the last 3 or 4 days. I've noticed and I've been following you. You've been sleeping in your car. I have some apartments available. I'll be out of town, but get this message. Go to this apartment here. The key is on the mat. Don't worry about the first month of rent. I know you're working. I'm going to do the background check, blah, blah, blah." When I heard that lady's voice, I cried all the way to the apartment. And let me tell you something. When I got there, got the key under the mat, walked in the door, heard some, "I appreciate the floor. I appreciate the wall. I appreciate closing the door. I appreciate a key. I appreciate the kitchen. I appreciate the toilet. Hear the noises. Clean toilet." And I used the wall like a prayer wall. I had no furniture for about a couple of weeks. But with that being said, I said, "God, I trust you. I believe in you. I will not go before you. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. I'm not going to worry about them laughing at me, lying on me, hating on me. I understand." And ever since then, my mindset made me become who I am today, a better man. Not no woman made me a better man, but God.
That's a very, very powerful, story, testimony, and one of the things that I really appreciate is not only the courage to tell your story, but you can tell that you're free to tell the story because you're telling it. And, you know, it takes a strong man to say, "I cry." Because if truth be told, all of us as men have cried, and if you haven't cried, you got real bad anger issues.
Yeah.
Because it's going to show itself in one way or the other. You know what I'm saying? God gave us tear ducts to cry, and it's part of the human experience, but it takes a real man, not what the world has defined as a man, to be able to tell your story with the freedom and confidence that you have. We definitely appreciate you sharing that. It was definitely inspirational, encouraging. And we know that, you know, when any person's on the path to a dream, every person that has a dream, or most people, maybe not all, but most people, go through what they call the death of their dream. But when you go through the death of your dream, you're like a seed being planted to grow back, and you grew back, and you grew back stronger.
Yeah, and that's part of faith.
That's faith.
Now, no pastor, bishop, deacon, you just can't walk up to me and just tell me anything. And I would tell a person this in a minute. I won't brag about a thought in their faith, but ain't but two people alive in that Bible, and that God and Jesus, you know, and everybody else. You heard the story of Abraham and Job and people that read the Bible, comprehend it very well, teaches it. That is wonderful. Tell everybody a story, but they won't tell their own story. And that's what God wants us to do. Church is practice.
Right. That's so true, man, because I was reminded, as you were saying that, I was reminded of a theological saying that I had heard about the Lord, but now I've seen him with my own eyes, meaning you've seen him with your own eyes by way of experience, how he took you in, through, and out. And it reminds me of that old saying, you know, our setbacks are setups for a comeback. You know what I mean?
Yes, and this is truly in his case. Truly in his case.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. In God, we bounce back. But, Brother Edwin, comedian, man of God, overcomer, and much, much more, writer, we just want to thank you so much for coming on the show, man. It's definitely been an honor, and it's even a more special honor because me and Nikki consider you our brother. We love you, man, and we thank you for all your support and encouragement and inspiration. And it's just so refreshing to connect with people that you can see clearly has a good heart and mean others well. And that's you, man. And we just want to we definitely would like to have you back on the show. That's a given. And we want you to take this time to put your social media stuff handles out there, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. How can people get in touch with you in case they want to book you? Put your information out there, man, and we want to hear you do some more comedy.
We do. I do.
All for those who's listening, keep following Kevin and Nikki. These guys are off the chain. Off the chain. Love you guys. If you guys want to contact me, very, very, very simple. I will respond. Comedian Edwin Douglas throughout the social media. I'm out there. Anything there, you want to book me, just holler at me. Everything ain't free. Just keep that in mind.
You heard me first.
Very simple.
That's right. I know that's right.
Just inbox me, Facebook. I will respond. Thank you.
Cool.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, all right, man. We just want to say thanks again for coming on the show. And thank you for the shout out as well. And we're definitely going to have you back, and we'll definitely be in touch.
Thank you. Love you guys. And
love you too, man.
And one more thing, man. Y'all, thank you. Thank y'all for the butt kicking, Philip whooping Dallas, even though I'm a Cowboy.
Oh,
it's all good.
You're welcome.
We're very
welcome. You're welcome.
Okay?
We're
Dallas.
I know that's right. We hate Dallas and the Giants. That's right.
Well, y'all be good, right. Okay? Thanks a lot.
All right, you
Thank
too.
You.
Take care.
Okay. All right, bye.
That was powerful.
Yeah, that was our good friend, comedian Edwin Douglas.
Yes, sir.
That's an awesome
testimony.
Yeah.
He's very, very funny. And I've had a chance to hear some of his material on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
He's funny. He's really, really funny. And I would encourage people to book him.
Yes.
And I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed.
You will not.
And,
you will not be disappointed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one thing I love about his testimony is how God moved.
He moved.
Because he moved on that woman's heart to not only give him an apartment, give G-I-V-E, but also let him be in there rent-free for the first month.
I know that's right.
And you know, apartments today, they want first month's rent, last month's rent, and security deposit.
And middle of the year rent. They want all
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
But he got it for free the first month.
Absolutely.
That ain't nobody but God. Won't he do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. That was very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. And very inspirational, very encouraging. And I know sometimes in life we don't see it while we're in it and going through it, but there is the other side of through, as they say.
There's the other side of through,
where we come out stronger.
Yes.
How did Marvin Sapp say? You got to come out wiser, stronger,
yes.
You know, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we just thank God for that. So we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we got news and sports. All right. Kevin and Nikki Show on Vibes Live. We here. We everywhere.
Silver platter, would it even matter? You'd still be mad at me if I could find in all these a dozen roses, which I would give to you.
Don't let do me.
All right, and we are back. Yeah,
okay. So why do you get to sing?
Because
you
cannot.
Okay,
okay?
Great.
This is not your week, so I'm going to sing all I want. Now, yes.
Right.
So, Meek Millie from Philly is going to prison. You know what? That was in poor taste. I'm sorry. Meek Mills is going to prison.
Mm.
You know, that's not good.
Yeah.
But it, I guess the judge got tired of him, you know, getting passes.
Yeah.
You know, he violated his parole, okay?
Oh, the probation?
His probation. He violated his probation. I'm sorry to make sure I clarified that. He violated his probation, you know, and she's like, the judge was like, not this time. So
yeah.
Meek Mills is going to jail for at least 2 to 4 years.
Yeah.
And the city of Philadelphia is not having it. They are in an uproar about it. They feel as though that the sentencing is harsh.
Right.
2 to 4 years is a long time. But according to the judge, in 2008, he violated his probation on a drug and weapons case that he got busted for. He violated that. And then in 2015, he also violated his house arrest.
Right.
He was on house arrest in 2015, and he violated that. I think he went to a concert or he performed
in
2015.
Yeah.
And so he violated that probation. And so the judge was like, listen, not this time, buddy.
Right.
We're going to sit you down.
Right. Yeah, I remember reading the article a few years ago. I think it might have been about that
2015
violation.
And they
cut him a break then.
Right, they cut him a break.
What he was saying was that, you know, he has to earn a living and things like that. And, you know, we love Meek Mills. We love Philly and those who are the success stories of Philly. But one thing that, you know, we all have come to learn is that society's not going to make excuses for us or continue to make excuses for us. Because who we are, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And let me just clarify something real quick. In 2008, he violated his probation. He was on a drug and weapons case in 2008, and he got busted for an air fight in the airport and his reckless driving arrest in New York City.
Right.
So he was on probation for that, and he violated that.
Right.
So this judge is like, nope, buddy. You ain't getting off that easy. We're going to sit you down.
Right. And then, you know, the discrepancy, you know, when you think in terms of the 2 to 4 years, there was a rally going on, you know, in and around the Philadelphia area. And, you know, some of the Eagles were there. You know, it was some pretty, you know, big wigs there to support him and to speak out on his behalf. And so they thought that the sentence was very, very steep. 2 to 4 years, considering that what everybody kept saying, he's not a murderer, he's not a criminal, and things like that. But
but I guess from her point of view of it,
from the judge,
how many times are you going to keep violating your probation?
Right.
How many times are you going to keep doing that? What kind of message are you sending out to your young people who are following you?
Right.
So, I mean, I feel as though it is a little harsh.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel as though it is a little harsh, but however,
right,
something has to be done.
Right. But, you know, and we learned in sports, and we'll get to the sports later.
Right.
They always say, don't put the decision of the game in the hands of the referee.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, if you are on the other person's home court and the game is close, don't put the referees in a situation to perhaps influence the game.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get up by 10 and stay ahead, well, then you can kind of make sure your chances of winning.
Right.
And, you know, and likewise, you know, in the situation with Meek, don't put the decision in the hands of the referee.
Right.
And by violating that, you know, his probation, he put the decision in the hands
of the referee. You got to stop violating your parole. You got to behave yourself. You know, people are watching.
Yeah.
You know, people. You are a celebrity.
You're a celebrity.
And a lot of these young people are looking up to you.
I'm going to keep it real with you, man. I remember when I was working at the Youth Study Center years and years ago, and we used to watch Headshots mixtapes. And that's when I first got introduced to who Meek Mill was. And then when he blew up and, you know, I'm riding around Philly and seeing his face on the side of a trolley, you know, wearing his gold because he got, you know, he got, I think he had endorsement with Puma. He got endorsement with jewelry. And I'm going to keep it real with you. I looked up to him. And I still look up to him because it's hard to make it out of Philly.
It is.
It's hard to make it out of Philly.
Listen.
It really is hard. You know what I mean?
We're actresses, so we know.
Hard making it out of Philly, man.
But,
you know, but he showed that it can be done. Rasheed Wallace showed that it can be done. Aaron McKee showed that it can be done. There's a lot of Philly athletes and rappers and singers. Jill Scott, Kevin Hart. I don't want to leave nobody out. These are people who inspire us because they did the unthinkable and they did the unimaginable and made their dreams come true.
Exactly.
But when you arrive at that point of plateau, you got to be real careful.
Yeah. So we're not going to talk about Meek Mill too much. You know, it is a touchy situation. You know, Philadelphia is in an uproar because of it. But we're going to keep an eye on this story and keep reporting it back to you because his lawyer is fighting to get that overturned or turned down
or
a little bit. He's trying to get it reduced down to probation.
Right.
I don't know, but we're gonna see.
We'll keep you
posted. And real quick, open enrollment for healthcare.gov. The deadline, you guys, is December 15th. Now listen, the White House, the government, you know those people. They do not want you to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there are no commercials about healthcare.gov because they want it to fail. Obamacare, they don't want you to get on that. They want it to fail, basically meaning they don't want you to have healthcare coverage. They don't want you to have that. And if you don't have healthcare coverage, you will be subjected to a $300 fine from the IRS.
Yep.
So you better sign up. Deadline is December 15th. I'm going to keep reminding you. I'm going to be the commercial since there are no commercials about it on television.
That's right.
I'm going to keep reminding you to sign up. Everybody must have coverage. There is no everybody should have coverage, everybody whatever coverage, everybody must have coverage.
Right.
Okay? And right now, D. Trump don't want you to have it, so you need to get on it. Sign up.
That's right. And, you know, I think what's a shame is, like, we're one of the only or few countries where all the people don't have health care. Like, there's other countries like Germany where all the people automatically get health care from the government and so forth and so on. And we're one of the richest countries in the world. And I feel like, my personal opinion, I feel like everybody should have health care.
Yes, everybody needs to have it. Working person. Man, woman, boy, girl, you're working, you need it.
Right.
So I'm going to keep harassing you to make sure you get it by the deadline, December 15th, because once the deadline is done,
it's done.
And when you go to file your taxes come January, February, $300 fine.
Yeah.
I'm just letting you know. And one more thing real quick. Time Magazine had to refute a statement that Trump said that Time Magazine wanted him as the man of the year.
Person
of the year. Time Magazine said, nope, I'm sorry. We did not say that. We did not bring that to you. We did not ask you to be the person of the year for 2017. We don't know who the person of the year is going to be until like around December 6th. We don't even put that out. So what he tried to say was they called him and asked him if he can be considered, if he can be the person of the year. They wanted to come to the White House, take photos of him, and he told them, oh, no, because he got other offers on the table.
Oh, wow.
But they were like, nope, we didn't do that. We didn't say that. And the only reason why he got person of the year for 2016 is because they said that he was the president of the divided state.
Wow.
And so he had to take it because of what the title they were going to put on Time Magazine. You know, Time Magazine... President Obama been on that thing 11 times.
Regularly.
Michelle Obama was on there once.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a person of color who graced the front page of Time Magazine 11 times and his wife one time. So President Trump is trying to get up there with Obama. I don't know. And they said right now he is number three in running with the with someone else who they're thinking about for
person of
the year.
Right.
But they said, nope, it is not him. It's not him, so forget about it. Right now they're thinking about trying to see if they're going to put a woman on the cover, Person of the Year.
I got you.
You know,
I like
hashtag
that.
Me Too is rolling around from all of the women who
right,
have
right.
been coming out over sexual harassment.
Right,
so they're saying that a woman, many women, may grace that cover. And
you.
It's not the Donald.
I got you. I like that. I like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
everybody, celebrities and all, I've seen a few tweets by Common. He's saying, listen, with everything that's been going on and women are coming out boldly,
right.
they need to be on the cover.
I
do like that. And it's called hashtag Me Too.
Right. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Okay.
What we got going on?
All right, so we got sports.
Yeah.
In sports. All right. The Alabama Crimson Tide football team, who was 11-0, lost to the Auburn Tigers last Saturday to win and clinch the SEC West Championship in the Iron Bowl. It was a great game. I watched it, man, and I don't even think the last AP polls, Alabama is no longer in the top three. So that was a great game, and now Auburn's going to have a rematch with Georgia. So college football, man, is these Saturday games are picking up, man. If you get a chance to check some of them out, man, I would definitely check some of them out. All right, our Philadelphia 76ers are 11-7. They're in the middle of the pack,
mm-hmm.
and that is big for us.
Yes.
That's very, very big for us, Simmons,
yes.
from where we have come these last few years. They played the Golden State Warriors and had them down 24 points. You heard it correctly. 24 points. They had the champs on the ropes and lost the game, y'all. And I'm going to say this. If you're able to get up 24 points, you're supposed to win that game. But the Sixers are fun to watch. They play together. They play tenacious defense. Ben Simmons is the real deal, comparable to young Magic Johnson, comparable to LeBron James in his own right, in his own way. But he is good. Joel Embiid, of course. And I think they definitely are the tandem of the future for the Philadelphia 76ers. And as they say, last year it was trust the process. This year the moment is here. I think the moment is here, but you just got to go through those growing pains. And anytime a team get up 24, that's when you need a veteran on your squad to be able to rally the troops when you start losing the lead. And I saw that the Sixers didn't have that. The Eagles beat not only the Cowboys. I had to put that in for comedian Edwin Douglas. But they beat the Bears as well last Sunday to improve to 10-1. They had the best record in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And people are starting to speak whispers of Super Bowl. But I want to hold off on that because they're in a very, very tough
mm-hmm.
conference. They got the Vikings who are
yes.
doing well, the New Orleans Saints who are doing well.
Yes.
But if there's any team that has a great chance due to their offensive and defensive ability, I would definitely say the Eagles. And last but certainly not least, Donald Trump was responsible and influential in getting those three UCLA basketball players out of China. Now, it was reported that they were locked up. They weren't locked up. They were in a 5-star hotel, kind of like on house arrest. But there was this feud going back on Twitter between LeVar Ball, who is LiAngelo Ball's dad, and of course, their son plays for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I think what it boiled down to was LeVar Ball refused to say thank you. Now, I'm going to make a statement that's going to make some Democrats upset. I'm going to make a statement that's going to make some people upset. We may not care for Donald Trump as a president. We may not care for him as a person. But if your son got caught shoplifting over in mainland China, Communist China, and he had anything to do with getting them out of that country and preventing them from going to jail, I think Donald Trump, in my humble opinion, deserve a thank you. Now, I'm going to say this. I played professional basketball in the same city they got locked up, Hangzhou, China. They have army personnel walking around with rifles in public.
Mm.
So this is a country that is unlike America. I'm going to conclude with LeVar Ball. You don't have to like him as a president. You don't have to like him as a person. If he had any influence on getting your son out of China, where they could have thrown them under the jail, you might want to give him a thank you. That's it for sports.
All right.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and we come back. We're going to find out what's bothering Nikki.
It's bothering me. It is. It's bothering me.
I'm jealous. I'm overzealous. When I'm down, I get real down. When I'm high, I don't come down. I get angry. Baby, believe me, I can love you just like that, and I can leave you just as fast. But you don't judge me, cause if you did, baby, I'd judge you too. No, you don't judge me, cause if you did, baby, I'd judge you too. Cause I got issues, but you got them too. So give them up. Skin the glory, all our problems. Cause we got the kind of love it takes to suffer. Yeah, I got issues, and one of them is how bad I need you. You do shit on purpose. You get mad and you break things. Feel bad, try to fix things. But you're perfect, poorly wired circuit. And got hands like an ocean. Push you out, pull you back in. So you don't judge me, cause if you did, baby, I'd judge you too. No, you don't judge me, cause you see it from the same point of view. Cause I got issues, but you got them too. So give them all to me, and I'll give mine to you. Bask in the glory, all of our problems. Cause we got the kind of love it takes to solve. Yeah, I got issues, and one of them is how bad I need you.
I got issues, you.
We're back, and it's that time of the show we look forward to and anticipate. What's bothering Nikki? What's bothering you, Nick?
Listen, I have been having a hard time, okay? And the reason why I'm having such a hard time is because of what it is. I'm going to tell you. What is wrong with you? Why can't you do right? I'm going to say it again. What is wrong with you? Why can't you do right?
Well,
do you understand that you have been placed in a position that many athletes want to be in?
Mm-hmm.
You have the opportunity to travel, to go to China, play basketball, go to other countries, play basketball, and what do you do?
And a potential opportunity to play in the NBA because you go to a big-time school.
What do you do?
Stealing sunglasses.
You take your behind over there and steal sunglasses.
And now you got to worry about people at the game wearing sunglasses and hiding sunglasses because they're going to make fun of you.
I don't understand. Do you get it? Okay, you know what? I'm going to turn to you.
Okay.
As a professional basketball player, please, for the life of me, tell our listeners how much, I mean, I can't even find the darn word.
Mm-hmm.
how big is it to have the opportunity to go over to another country and play?
Yeah, you know, it is a huge opportunity because some people, they say in the inner city, people don't get the opportunity to go in an 8-block radius in a circle around their house.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get the opportunity to play at a big-time school like UCLA, be able to travel to a land where people won't get a chance in a lifetime, and to go over there and steal sunglasses, and it was LiAngelo Ball, Cody Riley, and Jalen Hill. Now, we understand these are young teenagers, young adults who made a stupid decision, and we all have. You know, we all have. It just so happened that this one could have cost them major in China, communist China. They could have threw them under the jail.
But here's the thing. Here's why I'm having such a hard time. I do not like the fact that they went over there and they started stealing. I do not like that at all. But Trump goes over and gets them out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that you guys are not going to live that down?
Absolutely. Because now people are going to be at the game holding up signs with sunglasses saying, hide your sunglasses. The fans are going to take advantage of it. I'm trying to tell you. I'm telling you, the fans are going to milk this one. They're going to be wearing sunglasses, and everybody, when they're at the foul line, everybody's going to take their sunglasses and put them in their pocketbook so they don't steal them.
Quiet.
I'm telling you.
I'm not asking you nothing now. Be quiet. But here's the thing, though.
Mm.
Trump wasn't so fast to go over and help out the hurricane victim.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But as soon as these boys get in trouble over in China, he hightails it over in China to get them out, and you know he showboated that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He's not going to let them live that down. And so now all he wants is, you know, for the father to say, thank you. And the father is saying, listen, they were going to get out of jail anyway. People are still over in China all of the time.
For real. Yeah, and then, you know, of course there was a lot of, you know, people that were upset at what Trump said. Trump ended up saying, he ended up making a comment.
Tweeted.
I should have left them in there then.
Yeah.
So.
But wait a minute now. That is the normal thing you say.
Yeah, true.
When
that's
someone.
True. When you didn't help
not,
somebody.
When
that's
you
true.
Help someone. And they do not say thank you. What do you say? Well, I shouldn't have done it. Or
I should have left them in there. That's
or
right.
like that.
Well, you held the door for her,
and she didn't say thank you. The first thought in my head after I held it twice was, you know what? I shouldn't have held it for you.
Absolutely.
You're ungrateful.
That's right.
But you know that Trump is going to take this thing. He's going to run with it. He's already running with it. It's all over Twitter. It's all over the news. It's all over Facebook.
Right.
All of the social media outlets. It's all there.
Right, right.
But if you did not give him something to talk about,
right,
you know what I mean? He wouldn't be talking. He'd be finding something else to talk about.
Right, but
he's
right.
going to be talking about this for a while because, according to him, he's the savior of the UCLA boy.
Technically speaking, he is. He really is.
Yeah, because, you know, China don't play.
China don't play that. They don't play that stuff.
They don't. China, listen now.
Once again, I played 2 years. I lived over there. In the same city, the Hangzhou. I played for the Hangzhou Squirrels and the CBA. And like I said, they had military walking around the streets with them green beret hats with rifles.
Wow.
So you know crime was low.
That's why they still is going to have you do a $5 minimum spending limit when you go in there.
They don't play. Yeah, man. But yeah, you know, kids, man, y'all realize the opportunity and blessings that you have. Realize the great position that you're in. Be thankful, grateful for it. You're going to make mistakes. Nobody's perfect, but you want to minimize mistakes that can cost you, and those, especially those that can last a lifetime.
Don't blow
the major opportunity that you have. You had a major university, UCLA Bruins, and this is a lesson for all other kids. We had kids that come out of Philadelphia. You know, go to various different schools, big-time schools, and couldn't leave the corner alone or went down there and got all kinds of charges and, you know, things like that. when there are kids who are hoping, wishing, wanting, waiting to try to get that scholarship to play in the NCAA tournament or on national TV, make better decisions, y'all.
Yeah, you have to make the right decision. I mean, come on, choice.
Do right for yourself and for your family.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
All right. All right. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have Kevin's Corner.
You heard me.
You heard.
He saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time, one more time? I said he saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey,
he saw the best in me
when everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When fuck walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me
when everyone else around me asked,
could only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? See, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am. Help me sing it. The girl said that he is mine.
He's mine.
I'm his.
Said
it doesn't matter what
doesn't
I did.
Matter what I did.
He only sees me for who I am.
He only sees
tonight. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this. What did he see?
He saw the best.
I can't get no help up in here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing, when aunties and uncles said that you'd never amount to anything, when daddy didn't come home anymore, he didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you, and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best. The best.
What did he see?
The best.
I said, 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 what did he see?
And we are back. I'm going to milk that.
All right. If I can't sing, you can't sing.
No, I'm not on a singing limit. You are. And now it's time for my favorite part of the show. You like that soprano?
Yeah, I got
show.
You. Mm-hmm.
Kevin's Corner.
All right. This is that time, man. We just want to encourage, inspire, and motivate, man, people to be better people, to on to dreams and aspirations and so forth and so on. I saw a post that said, anger will keep you alive, and then it'll eat you alive. It just seems like we're in a day and age where everybody's just angry and bitter and frustrated and things. And though they are natural responses or natural emotions, I read an article that talked about how toxic emotions can lead to serious health problems, all right? So anger and hatred, they're natural, but they are also some of the most toxic emotions that we can have. Feelings of rage, hatred, they build up in the mind, body, and soul, affecting the body's organs and natural processes, and breeding even more negative emotions. Expressing anger is reasonable. There's reasonable ways that we can express it, healthy ways, but explosive people who hurl objects or yell at others frequently may be at greater risk for heart disease. All right.
Wow.
So prolonged bouts of anger can take the toll on the body in the form of high blood pressure, stress, anxiety, headaches, and even poor blood circulation. Mm. So research also shows that even 1 5-minute episode of anger is so stressful that it can impair your immune system for more than 6 hours.
Ooh, wow.
All right. So all these health issues can lead to more serious problems such as heart attacks and stroke. Anger and hatred can be directed at yourself. Anger turned on self is called depression,
mm-hmm.
where you blamed yourself for something that you didn't have, that wasn't your fault,
right.
that you didn't have to feel guilty for,
right.
or, of course, at other people. But either way, you lose when you allow these negative foods for the soul to take over. So fortunately, there are some ways that we can overcome anger and hatred alive. And here's the bottom line. Welcome to the human race. We've all been angry. We've all been maybe hated or strongly disliked someone or just disliked someone. But anger is an alarm system that lets us know that something is wrong that needs to be given attention to, whether it's perceived or real. You know what I'm saying? It can be perceived or it can be a real legitimate reason to get angry. You know, Ben Franklin once said something along the lines of there are many reasons why we get angry, but there's seldom good reasons. You know what I'm saying? So the first thing, here's just some practical steps. Acknowledge your anger. You cannot, I cannot, we cannot conquer what we don't confront. And anger means that you're hurting from something, afraid of something, or frustrated. Unresolved hurt leads to anger. You heard Brother Edwin Douglas, like a real man, would say, man, I cried, or that hurt. And we want to let the men know that it's okay to say that. It don't make you less of a man. It makes you more of a man. Because if not, we're going to see the anger.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see the anger, we know that the root comes from an unresolved hurt. You know? Okay, so acknowledge your anger. Realize why you are angry or feeling hateful. Because, you know, the reason, you got to know the reason. At least let it be for a valid reason. Because sometimes we're angry at stuff. We don't know why we're angry, or we don't really have a justifiable reason to be angry. Third, step back for a moment. You know, somebody once said that when you make a speech in anger, it'll be the greatest speech you'll ever regret.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to what we talked about some weeks ago about thinking before you speak. All right. So then we deal with the issue. Once again, you cannot conquer what you don't confront. And what a lot of times we misplace anger onto other people, like that lady in the dollar store, right, Nick?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That lady in the dollar store.
Right.
That's why she got in the mind.
Right. And then fifth, talk to people about what's on your mind. We got to learn how to talk. You know, we got to learn how to talk. And, of course, you want to combine someone that you trust, somebody that you know that they care about you, and so forth and so on. Let go of unhealthy thought patterns, because everything starts in the mind. And the seventh thing I want to add is pray about it, man.
Yeah.
Pray about it. So, yeah, let that anger go for your purposes so that you can lead a better, healthy, spiritually, mental, emotional, in physical life. It ain't worth it. Let them go.
You better go ahead and
you know
get some statistics.
I'm trying to. I got to go with
yes.
my research.
You better go ahead.
You know what I'm saying?
You know you drop some statistics.
Listen,
on us like that.
You know what I'm saying?
You better go ahead with your bad stuff.
I'm trying to help people live
with research.
Man, that's right. You got to do research, man.
Yes.
And you know, I'm just trying to encourage people, inspire people to live good quality of lives, become a better person.
Yeah.
Be spurned on to dream.
Yeah.
And then have healthy connections with people.
Yeah, yeah, like that lady at the store. We wanted her to have a healthy connection, but it didn't work out.
Didn't
That's
work
why
out
she got right. her pants stolen.
So you had to add that last part. You still fishing. See, I tried to help you out. But anyway, confession is good for the soul, bad for the reputation. But we're going to end on that. Let's put our media stuff, our handles out.
Go
there.
Ahead.
Go ahead. You go first, man.
Well, I got to go.
Okay, I'll go first. All right, I'm actor Kevin D. Benton, and you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Kevin D. Benton. And, yeah, man, send me a friend request. You know, let me know what's popping. Something you want me to talk about on Kevin's Corner, let's do it. I'm here to inspire, encourage, motivate, and all that stuff.
All right. Now, you can find me on Facebook, Nikki Warren, Twitter, at Nikki Warren, Instagram. Hello, I'm Nikki, HelloImNikeE. You can also, do you have any questions, comments, concerns over what we talked about, or that lady in her pants? Okay, you can hit us up.
Oh, my God.
On our Facebook page. The Kevin and Nikki Show on Facebook, and you can send us an email, thekevinandnikkishow@gmail.com.
That's it.
Let us know what you think about our show, and if you have any questions, comments, concerns for comedian Edwin Douglas, definitely
hit
us up and hit him up, too. You heard me?
You heard, and we out of here.
We're out of here.
You heard.